Okay, why don't you guys talk? I'm eating, man.
What, are we starting?
I'm drinking tea.
Do we have to start talking about the thing yet?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, yeah, we're going to talk about the thing.
Okay.
Muppets. Or...
that perfect thing. Intro. Done.
Well, why don't we get things started?
The Muppet Show tonight.
So that's right, we're doing this. this is episode... Number 18, I think.
Oh man, it's take
I think so 18.
It's only taken us what, like
it's legal
two
now.
And a half years.
Yeah.
You had an illegal podcast before?
Yes, before it was 18.
I know that's.
Mm-hmm.
It was just babies. You guys
they live, was just babies.
I'm here.
This is Charlie.
I'm Charlie.
He's great. He's our guest today.
Charlie,
he's my buddy.
Or Poplick VA.
Yes, he's very good at things.
I do things.
So descriptive.
Yeah. I do them.
I too do a lot
sometimes
of things.
Well. Yep. Julie's like super good at poetry, and Charlie's super good at like doing voices, and I'm super good at eating this ravioli right now.
Nice.
That is also super good. And my hard cream soda. Over the barrel cream soda. It's hard soda. It's hard, man.
I like how our intro was literally just the word Muppets, and then we began talking about other stuff.
Done.
That's usually how we do it. That's how we roll.
All right.
That's how we roll. This is our podcast, Charlie. We do what we want.
Okay.
All right, so we are discussing episodes 4, 5, and 6.
Which are Pig Out, Walk the Swine, and X Factor.
Yep. I had to look those up.
I did too. I have seen all these episodes. I've seen them each 2 or 3 times. Probably definitely X Factor because I reviewed it for Tough Pigs. But I have not watched them since they like aired.
I took notes.
Oh, that's good.
I rewatched them between the time that Laura said, "Hey, so by the way, well, we're going to be recording the podcast in like a little over an hour and a half," and
that's exactly enough time for you to watch these episodes.
Yeah. I was like, "Oh, okay," and then I washed them while watching the dishes. Wait, no,
exactly. Yeah. But I have to do dishes. Yep. All right. So for Pig Out, I took like a whole page of notes.
So many notes.
I did it for about all of them except for X.
I found it difficult to take notes while doing dishes.
While doing dishes, yeah. So I'm more prepared than you guys. Haha. Finally.
I have notes for the third one because that's when I was drying dishes. Didn't have to worry about getting paper wet.
Nice. Okay, let us begin.
Lettuce.
With Pig Out. Okay, so Pig Out is basically about. It's the karaoke one.
Yeah.
Basically.
With Ed Helms.
Where Piggy decides that she wants to be a part of the gang. And it's like Kermit's idea and it backfires on him because everybody has a really good time. And then they're all drunk the next day. So, you know, it works out perfectly.
Well, she says she wants to be invited. She says she wants to be invited say no. And Kermit's like, "Oh, I could arrange that, no problem."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like he convinces everybody because he's like, "She's not gonna say yes, guys," and they're like, "Okay,
oh good,
and we'll do it to be nice." And then she's like, "Yep, I'm totesin." And then they're like, "Oh crap, we have to hang out with Miss Piggy." But then,
I love that line. Something happened. I said yes. Do these diamonds make me look relatable?
Yep.
I love how out of touch she is. She's kind of like Gwyneth Paltrow. In that way, but you still love them for some reason.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Yeah, then they all go to Rolf's Tavern and get drunk and do karaoke with Ed Helms.
If I never hear Don't Stop Believing again, it'll be too soon. Thanks, Glee.
Oh, yeah. I definitely went to karaoke 2 nights ago, and that was the first song that my boyfriend put on, and I was like,
"Oh, of course.
Yep. Classic."
Yeah.
There's also I Got You Babe and Love Shack. Mm-hmm.
And
Rapper's Delight as performed by the Swedish Chef.
That's the best part of the entire episode.
That was, yeah, it best definitely was.
Best unexpected rap song since The Granny and the Wedding Singer.
How do you guys feel about this episode as a whole? Is this one of your more favorite episodes of The Muppets, or did you have...
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And especially for, like, the fourth episode, too. It's still pretty early in the game. I really liked it. I don't know how I feel about Sam and Janice, though.
That's still really weird.
It's just odd.
Was this the episode where that, like, concept was introduced?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. I remember thinking early on that it was really strange. Then I kind of, like, found it endearing as the show went on. And I can talk more about that down the line. You know, it's not, like, a couple I would like to actually see happen. But I feel like Sam is a very one-note character most of the time. So it's kind of nice they gave him something to do other than talk about patriotism.
Censorship.
And censorship, which I love. Mm-hmm. I love hearing Sam talk about censorship. But
it makes sense that he's the censor guy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Wasn't that what he was mm-hmm. in the... Yep.
Yeah, he's whatever that is, you know.
Yeah.
Practices. Standards and practices.
Standards and practices.
Also, Piggy knows fake Swedish.
Was she...
I don't know. I guess if they all do, but I just noticed that.
She was rapping with him?
No. In the beginning of the episode, she asked what he's making. He's making Swedish sushi or something
sushi, right. Yeah. Okay.
I think they all can just inherently understand the Swedish chef.
I guess they
just talk back to him in English, and he can understand them. No mm-hmm. one really questions it. It's been, over 30 years? I think they kind of just
go with it.
There's
no language barriers.
Yeah.
Well, he's not speaking Swedish.
Well, he isn't.
That's English. Well, I know he's not, but maybe that's his English.
I guess. All right, I really like Bunsen's, my PhD stands for pretty hard drinking. Not really. It stands for my academic skills or whatever. Oh, God, that was so funny. Because he, like, goes literally, like, so quick.
And then, Beaker and Bunsen wind up trading outfits, and they refuse to disclose.
They have always been the most progressive Muppets of Muppets.
Yeah.
Have they?
Pretty much. There was a scene, I remember there was a scene, I think it was Prince's episode of Muppets Tonight, where they are on a cruise ship, and they're both wearing bikinis.
Oh.
Like lady bikinis.
I forgot about
that. How
did they look?
Very square. And tubular. Literally.
Tubular.
Literally.
Well, it was the 90s.
That's true. No, it wasn't. It was early 2000s.
Was it?
Or mid 2000s. I remember because I was there. I think so. Or maybe.
But the mid 2000s was the early 2000s was the most 90s time of all.
Muppets Tonight was like 96.
Yeah, Muppets Tonight was definitely in the mid late 90s.
Never mind. Look, I've had like two of these hard sodas. So
go easy.
Nah, I don't. I never drink. Pepe has a shrimp on his T-shirt.
Does he?
What's that about? Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm. That's kind of weird.
There was also the B plot with Fozzie injuring Statler.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
With the T-shirt cannon.
Okay, first of all, that's funny as hell.
Yeah.
But the whole when Statler said arse over tea kettle, the first time I saw it, I literally snorted tea I was drinking, and it came through my nose and it hurt real bad.
Nice.
It hurt real bad, man. I like that, but I think that the whole plot could have been really good if they kind of left it before Sattler started taking advantage of Fozzie so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, and that's like a running thing
with
all these episodes, there's either no comeuppance or no, like, kind of lesson learned type thing.
Yeah, and that's my big problem with this episode. That's, like, the only real problem I have, and I can talk about that in a moment. But, that's true. Like, you know, he takes advantage of Fozzie, and that's kind of the end of that plot. And I feel like it's very in character, obviously, for Statler. And I actually really like that they have a Statler-Waldorf subplot where it's one of them, because we never see them apart. So it was
a lot
just...
of Steve and Eric.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Kermit, Piggy, Sattler, Fozzie.
Yeah. So it was an interesting dynamic, but I would agree that it kind of just, like, ends very abruptly. Like, he leaves, and then Fozzie's taken advantage of the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like they were going somewhere, like, unique with it, where mm-hmm. he's like, you know, he didn't come to visit me. No mm-hmm. one else came to visit me, and then it's like, oh, I did not see this plot going here. That's really interesting, and then...
And then, like, their friends...
I'm like, oh, no, that's exactly where I saw this going. Never mind.
But then, like, you know, it would have been neat if, like, oh, now they're friends. And then Sattler's like, well, you know, I have to keep insulting you because blah, 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 insecurity reasons or whatever. And then so when they get back to the show, like, they can have, like, a weekend... not weekend parties. Like, Tuesdays with Maury. Like, this Tuesdays with Maury, like, relationship, and then Sattler gets back to the show, and then he says something like, you know, one of his insulting jokes, but then, like, he winks at Fozzie or something, or gives him, like, a little signal that they're still buddies or something like that. I don't know.
That's kind of...
We should write for this show.
It's kind of cheesy, though. Like, it...
Yeah, I know.
I totally understand what you're going for, but, you know, Statler wouldn't be part of Statler and Waldorf if he didn't hate on Fozzie all the time.
That's true. So I guess they're, I mean, those two characters are characters that get to be horrible, like, all the time, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how they've always been.
Yeah.
But stuff like what happens later with Kermit, like, being super manipulative and stuff, which isn't to say that he hasn't been in the past, but... there's no, like, turnaround. There's no, you know, a lot of times their characters are being, their flaws are being funny because their flaws are terrible.
Yeah.
But then there's nothing after that. It's just them being not great, not
I like,
good people.
I like the line it ends on where he's like, I can manipulate with the best of them because I learned from the best of them. Piggy really is the best. That
I like the Piggy is the best.
Shows that he actually admires her, whereas a lot of this show has, you know, been like portraying them as like two people that you couldn't have even pictured together.
Yeah. Exactly. Also Yolanda is amazing and she's the best.
Yeah.
And there's nothing bad about Yolanda.
I love Yolanda.
Other than
that they don't...
comments nope. you've already made about her puppet.
No, I'm actually growing. It's grown on me. It's just very... it was very weird because, like, I don't know, her eyes were not the best.
Yeah, her eyes aren't great. But
Muppet eyes.
I would love more Yolanda in future episodes.
Yeah, and she did get like a big part for one episode or two episodes.
Yeah,
later on,
near the end.
Very happy about.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I mean, like, in later episodes.
Oh, yeah. The one where she lied about her... was it her birthday?
Yeah.
Speaking of eyes, though, the drunk eyes, or the hungover eyes at the...
Oh, my God.
That was...
so weird.
Yeah.
Scooter with no glasses is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's terrifying.
That always creeps me out.
It's horrifying. Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad.
Yeah.
Take
like,
it away.
He clearly doesn't actually have them under the glasses on the usual.
Well, yeah, but that I think that would have been even more terrifying.
Right? If he just had no... or I think he should have had, like, something covering his face. I don't know.
Like the old lampshade that
or
they
something,
did.
Yeah. They like either the had to reveal that Scooter, in fact, had no eyes, or reveal his eyes. Neither of which is really... easy to look at.
And no, it would not have been a good idea either way. Or like something got stuck on his head. Or he just should have had like little bean bunny eyes. Just the little black buttons.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. It was very scary looking. Hopefully we will not see that again anytime soon. I like that Pepe was still drunk. He's still super drunk.
Yeah.
Jeez.
We don't have a lot to say about this episode.
I had more, but, like, we're kind of speeding through it. Okay,
sorry.
Rizzo had a little safety pin on his jacket collar in the bar.
Yeah.
That was a costume thing that I noticed, and I just really like it. That's it.
Do you think it was there by accident, or do you think that...
No.
Okay. I don't know.
No, it was, like, it was in his collar like it was, like, a pin, like a decorative pin.
Okay. Okay, I didn't know if you were saying maybe like someone had accidentally left something.
Oh no, that they left it in the back of his collar to pin it to the puppet.
I don't know.
No. Yeah, no, it was there to be decorative and, okay, and neat. I also have safety pins in the, well, I have it in the front pocket of my jean jacket, because when I was Marty McFly and I made little paper pins of Marty's buttons on his jacket that I taped with safety pins to my jacket.
Nice.
So I feel like we're connected in a way or something. I don't know. I just wanted to mention that I was Marty McFly for Halloween.
What other notes do you have?
Tell me I'm cool.
You're cool. You're so cool, Laura. I cannot handle your style.
I just spilled my hard soda all over me.
You spill things a lot. I've noticed that about you.
I don't spill things a lot.
You were just telling us a squirting tea story.
I didn't spill it up my nose. I
You spilled it out your nose.
It didn't come out. It just got like a little bit out. I mean, it didn't all the way come out. That's weird. Yeah. So overall, I think it was a good episode.
But yeah.
Again, with like the manipulative thing.
Manipulativity?
Yes, that.
The only other two things I had to say about the episode was, yeah, I felt like the subplot, but also like the main ending, the wrap up was just so quick. Like,
yeah,
I remember the first time, like, oh, yeah, it.
And it's also very a big giant reminder of Miss Piggy being excluded from everything, from everybody else.
Yeah.
Which is something that I, oh God, what's her name? Kristen something? The new showrunner?
I can't remember her name.
Kristen Kathleen, something like that. Starts with a K.
Yeah.
Kristen Newman, something like that.
Yeah, I think it's
She's like solving problems left and right though, but
yeah.
We can talk about more of that when we get to those episodes.
And the last thing I had to say on this episode was it was kind of the episode that made me remember how much I love Muppets doing music.
Yes, exactly. So much music was so good.
And so like, and I'm glad that kind of like after this we kept seeing like more and more performances, especially like, you know, when the show got kind of a reboot, which was nice. We could talk about that, you know, in another episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, just getting to see the Muppets all
sing. I don't like to say reboot. I just say new showrunner.
New showrunner. That's fair. But it was nice to see the Muppets covering like a bunch of songs, and it was silly and just a lot of fun, which I appreciate always with the Muppets.
Oh yeah. Yep. Okay. So is that all for that one?
That's all I had to say.
Well, do you have any more notes? Worth pointing?
Eric's timing with Piggy is fabulous.
Yes.
That's all. Which is probably it was my last note, so something that happened towards the end that I didn't write down because I thought I would remember, but I don't. All right, so Walk the Swine is Piggy and Reese Witherspoon have this terrible rivalry, and Piggy decides that she's going to show up Reese by joining her with Habitat for Humanity. And then the subplot is Fozzie is a horrible boyfriend.
Yep.
Go. This would be interesting from a funny dude's perspective. Or do you agree?
Oh, Charlie? Me? No, I would never tell jokes like that about my girlfriend because there's so much better material with my grandma. But it's the truth.
And your grandma's never going to come to a stand-up show.
What?
She's old. I said your grandma's never going to come to a stand-up show.
Oh man, if I somehow were doing a stand-up show and my grandma wound up in the audience, somehow climbed up there to the audience, it's everything's up there for her.
You keep her, you know, wheelchair at a distance so that she can't follow you to functions, right?
Basically. She's a cane and sometimes walker lady. But no, if I don't know what I don't know how I would handle myself if my grandmother wound up at a show because I've never done stand up, but every time I kind of muse at the idea of planning it, all I have is jokes about my grandmother.
Oh my god.
Well, it's honest, I cannot make up a story that is funny funnier than anything my grandma has done and insisted it was serious.
Your show would just be called Grandma's Boy.
Hey, I don't know about that. It would literally just be me telling jokes about my grandma. Yeah, it would.
Day, every day, 24/7 grandma jokes. You should do your own website.
I'm doing an improv show in New York tomorrow.
Nice.
And what we do is someone from the audience gives out a suggestion, and
you have a plant that just suggests grandma jokes.
Yeah, no, I was like, okay, someone's got to say glue, because then I have the perfect story to open on, and then I don't have to participate in any of the improv scenes that are pulled from it. But because they're pulled from things I said, it still seems like I was funny. I did actually invite my family and tell them to say glue, and then watch folks from the Upright Citizens Brigade are going to be listening to your podcast, and I'm going to get, like, kicked out or something.
Yep. I was going to say, you just admitted to pre-planning your improv.
Yeah. Well, there is a word for pre-planned improv. It's called scripting. But, I'm getting very sidetracked here. Yes.
Welcome to the podcast, Charlie. Yeah. It's like you've never listened to us before.
Were I to go up on stage, if I was in Fozzie's position,
if you were dating Ricky Lindholm, which
position, it would be telling grandma jokes.
All right, good man. I guess. Sorry, grandma. Whatever.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how I'd handle that situation. I think, like, later Fozzie tries to pull his other material and it just totally bombs, and that's one time I made the Gravity Falls fan Hanukkah special. Mm-hmm. And because my grandmother's Jewish, I had her, like, voicing the creature that they summon. And because it was Hanukkah related, she just literally agreed without asking what she'd be doing, and didn't realize until she was recording that they were, like, jokes at her expense, sort of. And she said, she says, I'm going to finish recording this, but I am not letting you speak at my funeral.
Wow.
What I'd honestly do is I'd just, I think I'd probably just tell jokes about my grandma and, like, shrug at her between every joke. That's really how I think it would go down. So this episode, as you said, is about Fozzie being a bad boyfriend, but I don't actually know what I'd do in his position. That's my long, long, long-winded answer.
Here is how it could have been solved very quickly. Before he did his set, he would say, "Hey, Becky, I have some jokes I want to run by you."
Oh, yeah.
"They're about you, and I love you, and you're perfect. But here's some things I think would be funny if they were true, but they're not, but they don't know that. And I won't say that you're my girlfriend. I won't put a spotlight on you, because that would be dumb, and I would lose you forever." So, I mean, like, how easy would that... But then we wouldn't have the story.
He also doesn't feel like he's ever very prepared for his shows at all.
Yeah. That's because he's never prepared for his shows.
Exactly. Also. So I think what you're referring to is something that I would refer to as preparation, clearing something for his act, which... Yes, it would be being a better boyfriend, but would it be being Fozzie?
I don't know. Fozzie's not normally a dick.
That's true.
He's just unprepared, is all I'm saying.
That's a good point that, like, you know, Fozzie probably doesn't super, super duper prepare for his acts, but I wasn't particularly taken with this episode as a whole, but this subplot.
Same here.
It's just, the Muppets aren't mean. I don't know. Like, sometimes they, like, hurt each other's feelings, but... You know, like,
there are apologies afterwards. I mean, when Piggy got fired, they made up at the end. They don't do that anymore.
Well, there was an apology in this episode.
Yeah, there was, but...
Sort of.
It was, like...
Because the thing was, like, Becky decide, like, first of all, kind of Becky, like, gives it up for her man, where she decides, okay, you know what, it's fine if you make fun of me. That's fine. Just be funny. That was sweet that she did that, right? And then he says, and then he starts making new jokes at the end. She's like, okay, I'm done. I was like, yes, get out of there, Becky. You don't need that shit.
I do really enjoy the part where she's getting back at him and telling the Fozzie jokes, because, like,
oh yeah,
I mean, it's great. It's mean, it's, but it's like, she was actually pretty funny.
Oh no, it was great. And she sings, which, yes, I fucking love, because, yeah, I love Garfunkel and Oates so much. In fact, my note when I saw Ricky Lindholm, and the only time I spelled her name correctly, I just put like six less than threes after that.
Nice.
Because I take very strange notes.
Oh, less than, right, heart sign. I was like, yeah, what? Heart, okay, I guess she's, I guess you could say she's less, what?
My freaking level screwed up, man. I'm so pissed.
Nice.
That's why I need a new computer. It's literally just falling apart. My CD drive doesn't work. It broke. It's sort of halfway out, and I have a CD stuck in there still, or a DVD stuck in there. And then my, oh, now it's like peaked like crazy now. I don't know what's going on.
What's going on? Yes, True Colors, and then they all joined in.
Yeah,
I love Bobo's line where she talks about how Fozzie shakes off. Fozzie's like, "You're a bear. You did that too." And he says, "I have an associate's degree. I use a towel."
Bobo has so many good one-liners for the show.
Oh my gosh, he's so great. I love. He's so good in the show.
Yeah, this is some of the best Bobo material I've seen.
Such a step up from Muppets Tonight. I wish Johnny Fiamma and Sal were in the show, though, so bad. Oh my god, I wish they were in it. Like, Johnny Fiamma could be, like, the talent coordinator or something.
Yeah.
You know? Oh my god. And he would always want to get... He would, like, every day suggest Tony Bennett or something.
Every day, like, just...
So, Kermit, I got Tony on the phone again. If you want to get him, I can do that. You know?
Yeah.
And then Sal would just be his assistant, because what else would he do?
There's another Piggy in a rivalry with an actress plot.
Surprise, yeah.
Piggy in a rivalry with another blonde actress. Yeah, that's... I wasn't... You know, the Piggy having feuds with actresses is what she kind of does, but like...
But it's just... It's. I mean, it's I don't... Old. I first time I didn't... You know, it just feels like sort of the same thing as my
exactly.
main.
Yeah.
Which is why I really like in the next one that we're not talking about yet, that her and Kristen Chenoweth actually seem to like each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For about 5 seconds, and it's mostly because Kristen is just really nice.
Yeah, but,
and positive,
I mean,
towards Piggy.
No, they've Piggy has one jab at Kristen Chenoweth, but, like...
But then they're doing show stuff.
Yeah, but then they also talk about Denise. I don't know. We can talk.
Yeah, but Piggy actually doesn't say anything about Denise. Really, it's more Kristen talking to Piggy about how good Piggy had handled that situation.
Yes, but for a female relationship with Piggy, it's a positive one, which that says a lot about how little we will take to have a positive.
And exactly, and at the end of their song, Kristen. You know, she hears Miss Piggy trying to one-up her, so
she
sings really loud and high, and Miss Piggy just kind of accepts it. She just smiles, first, like, makes a face, and then just, like, smiles and waves and never says anything about it.
Yeah. She would have, though.
Yeah.
She would have done.
But,
we just didn't see that.
For Walk the Swine, my other thing was, I like Reese Witherspoon a lot, but she felt very flat in the episode.
She kind of did. I always forget how much I like her, though, kind of like Drew Barrymore. I love Drew Barrymore.
I
always
love
forget every single time I see her.
And I love Reese Witherspoon.
Until I see her.
I love Reese Witherspoon. I felt like it was just kind of off. Some people, I've noticed, when they act with Muppets, they don't portray the full range of emotion because they kind of are aware they're acting with puppets.
Yeah, and there's people who get it and people who don't.
And I felt like Reese Witherspoon wasn't quite there. She's a really good actress, so obviously like she gave it her best, but I wasn't quite taken with her performance, and yeah, the whole rivalry between her and Piggy, until I do like the ending song, because I like Muppets singing, but,
yeah.
The apology.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I actually didn't think that was that great of a number, but,
it wasn't the best number, but I like that Piggy starts, like, rapping halfway through.
Yeah. But, and that's, like, what I was talking about before, where nobody gets their comeuppance, nobody gets, like, the level playing field or whatever. I think it would have been better if Reese had stepped it up and done, like, a big giant walk-the-line apology, but not really an apology, and she has, like, a big, like, the curtain opens and there's, like, a big Oscar statue or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if she had got one over on Piggy.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
I think it would have been funnier instead of just Piggy being, you know, horrible again about stuff.
Yeah.
We've seen that already.
Yeah. Which is, it's a really tiny moment in the, X Factor. But again, it's the fact that she just, you know, at the end of the song, lets Kristen Chenoweth upstage her and just doesn't seem to mind. Really,
I think it's just
like,
she ran out of time.
Yeah, but
she cut to commercial and she couldn't
do anything.
I guess,
but she looks, you know, happy afterwards. It's really small, and you know, you don't really need to interpret it this much. But
maybe
it
she
feels
was like, "I've taught my Padawan well," or something. She's become the master.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But that's more Who kind knows? Of moments that I'd like to see from Piggy. Again,
yeah.
That exactly what you just said. I've taught my to be proud of someone and claim that
that's what I, like that's what I'm waiting for is for her to have like it's in a later episode. I think it's the one where Robin is in it, where oh no, it's the one where her tail comes out of her dress.
Oh yeah,
where she has that the little girl pig comes up and says, "Oh, you're my favorite. It's so important to me that this happened and you handled it so nicely and
yeah,
you know, you make me feel good for being a pig and blah blah blah." I'm like, I need more moments like that. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's after the showrunner change, too. Where, you know, we need more stuff like that. So where Piggy can, like, actually be a little bit more of a, I want to say human being, but not.
You can connect with someone.
Like,
where
yeah.
She can.
Exactly.
Where she can be not just sympathetic, but also empathetic.
Yes.
And relate to, you know, not just, like, other characters, but, like, other female characters, be they human. Or pig,
absolutely.
Or any species.
I want Annie Sue to come back, and this is how I want her to come back. So, and this is like straight off the top of my head right now. So, they all knew her from when she was a little kid, right?
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. And she had the big fro and stuff, and now she comes back, and she's all like very confident. She has a nicer, more up to date hairstyle, and she and Piggy expects her to be all gaga over her. But when she's not, when she's like, you know, oh, I'm doing this thing now, and Piggy's very disheartened that this little girl that she knew no longer needs her help. Kind of like the big sister, little sister type thing.
Yeah.
And then at the end where you see that Annie's, and then, you know, Piggy's very sad, and then Annie comes over, and Piggy gets kind of mad at her for not spending time or what have you. And then Annie's like, oh, well, I thought I was doing all these things. I was showing you that I could be independent because I thought that's what you wanted me to be. And, well, I don't know. That's, like, kind of making shit up. But, because that wasn't really the relationship before. But I think that would be really nice for Piggy.
Yeah, it would.
To have something like that.
You know, it'd be nice for Piggy to have, like, a consistent female friend. Like, they kind of tried to do that with Piggy and Janice, but that didn't end up
really
panning out.
Didn't
we'll
really work.
Talk more about that.
Janice
in the
is too flighty for stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I like Janice a lot, but she's not. she's kind of out there to be out there type character.
Yeah.
You know?
No, totally.
I've had. Yeah. Okay. It's like I've had two hard sodas. I just started talking out of my head, basically. The whole Annie Sue thing. Alright.
Is there anything else to say on this episode?
Alright, so this is also the episode where Rizzo hits Scooter with his car.
Yeah.
Or with his Jeep. His junky little yellow Jeep.
Which is
It's
definitely like a C subplot, and it kinda doesn't it just like kinda teeter out at the end? Does anything actually like get resolved?
No, Scooter decides that he's going to be an adult and go through his own insurance, and that's it, Rizzo, I don't need any more, your relatives are out, blah, blah, blah.
And then Rizzo kind of asks him to go in with him on a timeshare.
Yeah,
that's right.
And then that, like, that's the joke, and that's it. I thought it was cute, but, like, again, like, with that, that could have had something with some sort of a lesson for Rizzo, because he's being, you know,
I don't think they're necessarily
creepy.
I don't think there necessarily has to be a lesson, like, with every plot or subplot. But, like, you know, at the time that I was watching it, I remember thinking, like, you know, it was a fine subplot. But at the end, there wasn't really much takeaway, and, like, it doesn't, looking back on it, it doesn't feel very necessary. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, that's what's kind of happening with all these plots, that it just kind of, like, it ends.
Yeah.
And, like, nothing, you know, you kind of expect a little something more to happen, but it doesn't. So, I think that's kind of where everything was going at this time, which, you know, when I originally watched it, that, like, none of the stuff was kind of any kind of issue with me. And then we changed the showrunner, and it was so much better, and I'm like, oh, now watching them, having seen the entire season.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
There's, the standards have been raised. Yeah, but, you know, Scooter being a huge nerd is very appealing, Rizzo being a literal rat was great.
Sure.
I did like that.
Just also, show him your hands when you come in.
I like that. Full body Piggy is amazing. I love seeing her, like, she's, like, laying on the sofa or whatever, and you can see, whenever you can see, like, the entire body of a Muppet, because it looks so good now.
Yeah.
Like, before, it didn't look great. Well, but now,
before,
like,
they would have to sometimes have people, like, in Muppet costumes. I just
or they would be, like,
oh, that's so weird for me every time.
When they would be the animatronics.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're talking about, like, when Piggy's skating through the park.
I just rewatched...
Piggy on the motorcycle.
Yeah,
the
I just rewatched Great Muppet Caper. Like, Piggy, like, diving during the water sequence is like that. Or, like, her walking away at the end of her pretending to be Lady Holiday, and you're like, that's so obviously not a puppet.
Or whenever Kermit's an animatronic, I freaking hated that. Not an animatronic, but, well, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, he's like a marionette type deal.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that so much. Because his face was so stiff. And, like, just, like, literally just flapping up and down. His fucking hell. Oh, I swore really hard. I hated that.
But, yeah, seeing Muppets nowadays, they're really well built, and they have a lot of, like, advantages with, like, using the green screen.
The green screen and everything,
and such. It's great.
Well, blue screen if you're...
True.
Main character is a green frog.
Very, very true.
I guess.
I have seen pictures of them using the blue screen.
Or black screen if you were on Labyrinth.
Because
it was
not.
A black velvet thing. I know, but I was saying it was like black screen, blue screen, green screen, whatever.
All the screens.
I'm trying to see if they had any other notes. Just, like, I had, like, at the end, the characters are funny because of their flaws, but they're way too focused on them being flawed.
Yeah.
Without being, you know.
I do think they're funny because of their flaws. I would like to see at least a little, like, character growth now and then.
Exactly.
I'm not saying, like, every episode should end with a lesson. Like, oh,
The violins and the Full House moment.
Yeah, the Full House moment. Where Danny Tanner gets down on one knee and says, "Now, girls."
Have you watched the Fuller House Show yet?
No, and I don't really have any interest in it.
I've watched 3 episodes. Jodie Sweetin is hilarious, and she's very, very talented in many different aspects. So,
did you see Did you see the Netflix April Fool's thing?
Oh, yeah, with all the John Stamos references.
Everything has, every title of categories
continue
has John
watching
Stamos.
With John Stamos.
With
yeah.
John
I was like,
Stamos.
No, I wish. All right, I think that's it for Walk the Swine.
Yeah.
Oh, Fufu doesn't look anything like a Bichon, or whatever that is, so maybe Piggy killed a dog, because Fufu is definitely a Maltese.
No, she, it had plastic surgery.
So she had plastic surgery to look like a Maltese?
Yeah. She did say it had plastic surgery.
I don't know how that would change, like, your fur, but okay.
I don't know. But...
All right.
That's
She looks like a puppy again.
Yeah.
I
thought it was my mom's dog!
All right, I guess. Because I dog-sit a Maltese. Not the one I'm dog-sitting today. She's a giant.
Wait, earlier you said you were house-sitting. Are you watching after the house with the dog?
Both.
Oh.
So I'm dog-sitting.
You're multi-talented.
Whenever I dog-sit, it implies that I house-sit.
Okay.
Yeah. So, whatever. Right. Same thing.
Yeah.
There is a dog here, but you wouldn't freaking know it. She stays outside and in the room that she sleeps in.
I got a comment that kind of applies to this one and mm-hmm. the next one, and really all of them. Sometimes the way that Uncle Deadly says anything really creeps me out in this show. Like the comment about the Spanx in this episode, like,
yeah.
Extra tight for Witherspoon. You worked hard today. I'm like, okay. I know, like, creepy. That's kind of one of the jokes with him, but yeah. Sometimes I feel like...
It
stops being funny.
It's definitely deliberate, and I think it works really well for those lines, like, that are so ridiculous, and, like, I don't know. But, like, he kind of lessens it, like, later in the episode where him and Piggy talk about their friendship.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I like that delivery a lot, especially when he's talking about Spanx.
Speaking of Uncle Deadly, I did make a note about him in the next episode.
Let's move on to the next episode, just because we're already at 45
Told
minutes.
You, I am the queen of segues, but now I can't find that note. anyway, it was basically so, Uncle Deadly's a standout character. Oh, here it is. You don't know me. No one does.
That's such Uncle a good Deadly, moment.
I know. Yeah. He's a standout character. We could do with less Chip the IT guy. That could have been another old character. Like, didn't do anything,
I feel like they don't use him way too much. I feel like they use Chip just the right amount. He, like, pops in and out, like, every other episode. Yeah. Sometimes he has a line, sometimes he has, like, a few lines. He's only really in, like, one or two subplots.
Yeah, but, I mean, it could have been I guess I see why they used it, because Bill Prady, but, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I felt like it could have been a better character from the past.
That's fair.
I don't know. Maybe like Bean Bunny. He's a kid. He would be into IT. Bean Bunny would be like such. He would be like a total hipster.
You sure mentioned Bean Bunny a lot.
I love him.
He's so cute.
He's my boyfriend's favorite too.
So.
Oh yeah,
cute.
I'm back with my boyfriend. By the way.
Yay!
Yay, Dave. Yeah, my boyfriend's name is Dave. Her boyfriend's name is Steve.
Mm. Oh yeah, they are. We're secretly dating Muppet performers.
Also, my Dave's best friend, his name is Steve. I just find that really funny.
I told him
that, and he kind of just smiled and nodded, and like, that's a Muppet thing. You're talking about Muppets, right? And I'm like, what am I not?
I also live with a Brian, so how many men do I know with Muppet? Here, Muppet performer first names.
Right, there's a lot in everything you know is wrong by Weird Al.
Yeah.
He actually has a line where he legit names like four Muppet people in a row.
Nice.
Ed or Bernie or Steve or
exactly. Yeah. I think it's like Jim or Frank or Ed or Bernie or Steve. Like there's okay. something like that. But yeah, Bernie and Steve are definitely two. Anyway, I just noticed that, and I recently listened to that CD, so that's all.
So the X Factor.
I really like the X Factor. It's.
I was not big on it.
No,
I was so. Out of the three, Pig Out was the best one, I think.
Out of X
Factor would be the second best.
According to AV Club, Pig Out is
the best
rated one out of the ones we've looked at so far. Cool. You've looked at so far on the show.
I mean, that makes total sense. I think I really liked it because they finally brought Denise on as a character. Because she was in the first episode, but she felt very stiff, and it seemed almost like they probably dubbed her voice. Like it didn't quite match up. And this one, she felt a lot more.
That.
It did for I don't know. I noticed something was off with her character, but this one, like Denise, felt more alive. We got to see her.
To me, it's the not blinking thing that really.
Oh yeah,
because she has like a lot of Muppets don't blink, but she has like giant eyes and like.
That's fair.
What Muppets blink, Charlie? What Muppets blink?
Besides
there's
Animal
and Floyd.
They're the only ones.
Yeah.
Okay. But
what it is, I'll tell you what it is.
Chip,
it's the eyebrows.
Chip also blinks.
Yeah.
Creepily.
What?
Yeah, Chip. We don't talk about how
Chip blinks his pupils somehow.
Yes, that's creepy.
I don't know.
She has eyebrows and it's weird.
But I really liked Denise, and I liked that like yes, it wasn't a huge interaction, but I liked that Kristen and Miss Piggy had an interaction at the beginning that was not completely negative. I thought, like, Kristen, and, like, I remember being enamored with this episode because like, the episode before, I felt Reese Witherspoon was really stiff with the Muppets, and Kristen Chenoweth, like, is so charismatic, and she, like...
She is literally smiling the entire time.
She fucking loved, like, doing that episode. Like, her being in the van with the Electric Mayhem was hilarious.
I would like to see.
Like, she was kind of like sort of terrified, but smiling the entire time.
Yep.
It was really great.
I just love when she starts like chucking the Tic Tacs at Animal's face.
That was so good. I was like, that had to be like just totally improv moment where she had the Tic Tacs obviously because it was a prop, but you know her like just throwing the box back there too. So
that's that's what I felt too. So I felt that Kristen brought a lot to it. The Color Me Mine sequence with Scooter is one of my favorites.
Scooter and his mom thing makes me really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I know.
A lot of people have made the same comment. And, like, I agree that as the episodes progress, I kind of got tired of that shtick as well. But, like, at this point, it was only episode 6. I remember...
Yeah.
What's the line from this episode? Get a
put
robe.
On a robe, Ken.
I laughed so hard the first time I really saw good. That. And it was just like the delivery.
Yeah, I like that like his stepdad makes him uncomfortable. Or his mom's boyfriend, rather. I think that that's funny. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the him like being the mama's boy type thing, because he's already such a giant dork, is a little...
It got a little...
Old hat.
Trite, like, near the end, but... But, like, I don't know, like, him, like, being at a Color Me Mine as, like, a regular, as if, like, he was at a bar.
Yeah, he's got nicknames for all the girls.
Mm-hmm. And he, like, he's like, oh, you should start with this one, you're not ready for that one.
Yeah. And then, he critiques him on using orange and struggles to think of
something that's
what
orange.
Would be completely orange. Right. And then he's like an orange.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, I don't know, I thought a lot of the comedy was on point for it. The Kermit, Denise, Piggy plot had its ups and downs. I like that Piggy and Kermit were interacting, like, in not necessarily a more positive way, but, like, you know, she gets, like, the final laugh in the end, but she is, like, honestly
trying
to help
I actually really like that plot, because it felt way more, focused than a lot of other plots too.
Yeah.
So
I would
like
agree.
Yeah, we're kind of they hit all the right points in terms of like jokes and all that and that stuff too.
Yeah.
It was much better crafted than some of the other ones.
I felt
but especially the end where Piggy's just like, you know, having your ex pick out your current girlfriend's gift is really messed up. So she, you know,
yeah,
she did him. She did him one.
So she, you know, she actually like helped him out, but then at the same time, she's like,
and even better, Denise didn't know. So Denise, like, they didn't like Piggy didn't make sure she made sure that like Denise wasn't put out or embarrassed or anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Kermit sure as hell was because he deserved it.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of what you get for you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway,
yep. I like that she's really good at gifts, and everyone agrees.
Yeah,
she
really
has
like
a gift for giving.
Gifts. Yeah.
Well, now it just sounds like you're... Now the word sounds like it doesn't mean anything or whatever Kermit says.
I had a note just because when they were talking about the gift-giving thing in the writer's room, I kind of got distracted because I looked at Kim, and she was like... She looked really bored, and she was doodling in her notebook. And I said, poor Kim is losing her mind on this gift-giving bit. In the background, probably writing up a new resume, working on her novel. Kim has big dreams! She's not going to be here forever.
My,
I want more Kim.
One particular line I wrote down is, Piggy says, you're making your squishy face!
Yeah.
Because... I don't know. Have we ever given that face a name before? I don't know. I know there's like a.
I don't think that it's been given a proper name. It is a squishy face, though.
Yeah, there's a post going around Tumblr that just someone Google image searched Kermit making that face, and all the results were perfect. Like it's like Google knew exactly what they were talking about. Like, oh yeah, that face.
Yeah.
That one. The squishy
face.
So I had to write down that the squishy face has a name now.
Yeah.
That is, I like that. I should have been paying. One of the members of the Electric Mayhem. I guess Lips. It would either be. Well, Lips talks now.
Yeah,
he's
I
always
love that.
You know, he's always talked. He's always spoken like that.
He hasn't really. I guess spoken
well, he
much.
Hasn't. He hasn't always talked, but the few lines that he's had.
Yeah.
I feel like back he's... in the Muppet Show, because Steve based him. He based his voice on Louis Armstrong, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's why
I like that he talks on the regular. Like he doesn't have a ton of lines, but like he.
Yeah.
Like at a certain point in the first season, he has pretty much, like, a line in every episode, like, from, like, episode, I don't know, like, 7 or 8 onward, mm-hmm. which is nice, you know? It's nice to hear Lips.
Yeah, I mean, like, he didn't a lot, and I think he didn't speak, I don't know, I would say he spoke, like, maybe once or twice in the Muppet Show at all, if he did at all. But I just remember reading that that's who Steve based Lips' voice on. Was Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, no, he's a
Trumper.
He did.
In you guys, first ABC's The Muppets, you were, like, kind of wondering what was going on with Janice and Floyd, and we have our answer now.
Well, yeah, because that was, like, well, not really.
Yeah.
I wasn't really wondering. It was more of other people saying, yeah, oh, okay. Well, she's flirting with this guy. She's flirting with this guy. And I'm like, she's literally just talking to men. That is all she's doing. She's not flirting at all. She's just speaking with them.
Well, in the X Factor, she makes a statement
which
that
is debatable to people.
That
but...
she's a free spirit. And, like,
yeah,
you know, Floyd's like, I thought we were free spirits together. I don't know what the actual line is, but it was something along those lines. But I noticed, like, onward, like, they still were very coupley, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And with her, I think it was, like, in the Muppet Show, the, like, the first season, it was her and Zoot that were mostly paired together.
Oh, yeah, it was
stuff,
it was them, and then they switched it after
yeah.
that.
Yeah, because I remember, like, going through the Muppet Tag and seeing a lot of Zoot and Janice shipping happening, and I'm like, was this an actual thing, or is this people that prefer them together or something?
It was a thing.
So, like, I didn't even remember
it. A long time ago.
I know, I did not even remember it.
Well, it was back during the Muppet Show days, so, yeah.
Long time ago. And then, apparently, her and Dr. Teeth were a thing, too.
When were they a thing?
That's what...
Well, that's what, in the episode, he says, because we used to date.
Oh, right, oh, right, okay, I remember.
She used to be my lady, kind of thing.
That's right.
So...
I think, yeah, that's a good point. I would have liked it if it had been Zoot that had that line, just because it would have brought it back to season one of the Muppet Show.
Yeah. But then, and then there was, like, the, you know, when you get your paycheck, and then everybody else is like, you get paid, so I was like, I like the band fighting, because they're really funny. And
yeah.
And we don't see a lot of them being characters.
Yeah, usually.
And
I love that
Zoot, not Zoot. Well, Zoot's, like, confused all the time, that's great, but that Floyd is, like, this super paranoid conspiracy theorist hippie.
Yeah, I do, too.
I really like that.
I like his whole bit about the moon.
Right? That's why we have winter. Like, what? We're gonna love that so much.
And we get some great Dr. Teeth words.
You know what? I wasn't really thrilled about that, because usually the words that he says are actual words. They're just, like, really...
Yeah,
different.
I noticed that, actually. I
and now
noticed
he's
that
kinda,
the
like,
first
making
time.
Shit up.
And yeah, no, he's using the wrong words now, and usually he just uses words because of their rhythm that are technically correct, but aren't usually what you'd say, and here he's outright using the wrong words. That's
true.
Yeah,
they're, like, they're made-up words. They're not actual real words.
No, they
were... Just...
There were some
longer.
Words there, but there were some of them that he was, like, using incorrectly. Like,
oh.
Yeah.
Well, some of them sounded straight up made up, so. Whatever. Kermit has the line, he's like, oh, I ate so much sushi they named a roll after me. Eel and cream cheese is
eel
terrible.
Eel and cream cheese.
Screw you, Kermit. Eel and cream cheese is delicious. Is my favorite thing to have in sushi.
And
cream cheese.
You like cream cheese and sushi?
Yeah, cream cheese
and
sushi is good.
You should go there and get a Kermit roll.
I know, I should. I hope it's not just eel and cream cheese, because that would not be great.
Cream cheese and sushi is delicious.
Yeah.
Sushi is delicious.
Eel is the best. Oh my gosh.
I like eel. I don't love eel. I love salmon and tuna on my sushi.
All tuna's so good. The raw tuna's so good.
It's so good, Nigiri.
What kind of sushi do you like, Charlie?
Well, I've been a vegetarian since I was 7.
Oh,
so.
Well, then never mind. You can have... Oh, no, you can't have the California.
No, last night I had, what was it? It was cucumber and peanut at this place in New York because we were doing rehearsal for the show tomorrow. That was really good. Hello, friends.
Hi.
I'm back.
We're back. Everybody's back. Kay. Tell us more about your sushi, Charlie.
What so I was saying is whenever I go to a sushi restaurant, the first thing I do is look for like the weirdest names of a sushi roll.
Nice.
There's this place in Maplewood, New Jersey that has a Pikachu roll. And I'm like, I mean, I hope that's not what's in it because I feel bad.
There was a Ninja Turtle roll at this one place that we went, and since we were going to see the Ninja Turtle movie, that's what we got. It had a seaweed salad on top of it, which is just like raw seaweed, and it was terrible. So luckily,
that was actually radioactive ooze that was on top of it.
It certainly looked like it. So we had like two pieces, and we're like, nope, can't. We sent it back, and she only charged us half.
Nice. I had a sushi roll that had rock candy on the top of it, the Pop Rocks.
What?
And it tasted so good. That's my story. That was an interesting roll that I had.
Sushi is great. I didn't actually used to like it, but when I stopped getting the California roll and like started getting real sushi, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Let's see what else.
We could just talk about sushi for the rest of it. This is now the fish kissing sushi podcast.
Right. Denise looks way better with glasses.
I agree.
I think it because it takes away from her eyebrows, which are not.
I agree. She looks good with glasses and.
Oh no! I know what it is about her. What? It's that her eyes. I think it's that her eyes are always half closed. Is
her,
what...
her eyes are. Her, I don't think the triangle isn't quite right.
Yeah. Something about her eyes is weird to me. I think it's that they're always half closed, so it always looks like she's like about to like. Flutter her eyelashes.
You expect some action to be happening in the eyelid region. Yeah.
Which is probably intentional, unfortunately. But, like, I would agree that the glasses kind of lessen that, and, you know, they look cute, so.
Yeah. There is a song that, There was a line that cracked me up, and because of, like, a weird experience I had that I don't. They mentioned this song belongs to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I was laughing really hard at that line because one time my cousin dragged me to a Sufjan Stevens concert in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one of the weirdest things that has ever happened to me. Like, I was not ready for anything that hipster. I was like, oh, can I get a lemonade? And they're like, yeah, sure. We have cucumber lemonade. And I'm like, okay, how about lemonade? And it's like, no, you'll like it. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. And,
you can cut your own cucumbers.
I still seeing him live, I don't think was the best way to first experience him because I'm sorry that I'm going to wind up getting you hate mail from Sufjan Stevens fans, but he says really pretentious things. And sometimes he like laughs at them like he understands how weird it is, and sometimes he doesn't. And I'm like, I don't know if what he knows he's saying is weird or not. I don't think he wants me to know.
We had a CD of his that we played in store at Barnes & Noble, and I literally do not remember one song from that thing.
But
the only song of his that I do know is For the Widows in Paradise, which is a fantastic song, but as played by Al Smithy from Hat Films, which is the YouTube channel. Like, he did an excellent cover of it, and that's
well.
The only song
but
that
he
I
actually
know that I like.
when he screwed up the lyrics, the song stopped. He couldn't remember what to say next, and everyone stopped playing for a second.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, he's almost feeling like an actual person now. And then he goes up to the microphone and says, "I guess that's just proof that this song doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the world." And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Can I go home now? So when they said this song belongs to the universe, the fact that I had like, once heard someone say that, I think genuinely, I was like, oh man, that's so funny that they.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. where are my notes? Let's see. Oh, that's good. Yeah, and it's the again with the acting horrible to be funny, and then they just leave her in the desert to die.
Yeah, but like I was kind of okay without there being like a moral to this one. Like their solution was to just leave Kristen Chenoweth behind.
And they told her to have good luck at her parents' birthday.
Well, that's just Zoot being all mixed up, which I really
I know,
love.
But I don't know, it felt like she was trying to help them grow as a group, and
no,
then
she
they
definitely
decided...
was, because, like, that's the whole thing, like, Kristen Chenoweth throughout this entire episode, where she's super, super nice, she's super genuine, she super wants to help people out,
and it...
she's smiling, like, all the time.
And ends up that working.
She's very nice.
Yeah, yeah, the fact that they say that the fact that they're like, oh, we never argued this much before you showed up, I liked that it didn't go where I thought it was going, not necessarily that there's another people being that. I just liked that it wasn't where I expected that that joke of her constantly trying to help them to get along going.
I did super love Dr. T saying, I'll drag you by your mustache, and then
actually going for the mustache,
and then there's like the pause, he's like, I'm gonna get your mustache, and then
and
he like launches at Floyd. I don't know, like they've done a lot of good like physical humor on the Muppets, and that makes me very happy.
Another thing, and it happens, like, every time, so, like, it's very consistent, so it's not, I don't know why I'm still, like, surprised with it, I guess not surprised, but, like, appreciative of it, is the way that Floyd walks.
Yeah,
the bob. He's
walked that strange way since the beginning. I call it a slinky walk.
Yeah.
Slinky walk.
He just slinks into the room. And then also that he was dressed in one of the Sgt. Pepper suits.
Has he not been dressing in those as much?
Hmm?
Has he not been dressing in those as much?
I'm not really sure, but like this was just like the blue. It was a blue one instead of a different one.
Yeah, he hasn't just really been wearing the Sgt. Pepper's outfits as much.
Yeah, but I they're in his wardrobe. They get shuffled around, whatever. But I just noticed that this time and thought it was great. So that's all.
Where is Kermit from again?
Mississippi.
Mississippi, is that really the state tree? Whatever.
I don't know. What'd you say, Magnolia?
Yeah. I'm going to look that up. I'm going
to... Mississippi.
I know how to spell Mississippi.
No, I just did it because I was typing it.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it is Magnolia.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you love someone, you definitely know their state tree.
You remember that crap from second grade, sure.
Yeah. Do you guys know each other's state trees?
I think ours is the Douglas fir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about Portland. Yeah. Oregon.
It is the Douglas fir, because there's Douglas firs.
I mean, but that's like what you learn that in like second grade, because it's really important for second grade.
I guess,
and
when you
I didn't learn that in second grade. They had me learning the counties of New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and then
I never learned all our counties. We never did that.
Oh yeah, I don't know
it's
all our
like...
counties.
And then you had to do like a report on your state. And then you pick another state to do a report on. I chose Hawaii because my mom lived there for a year and she still hasn't shut up about it. She lived there for a year when she was in seventh grade. But and then like you learn all the states. That's second or first grade, I think. I think it was first grade for me. Anyway, my state flower is dogwood, and our state bird is the cardinal.
Nice.
And our state symbol.
Oh.
As a lady with her boob out.
Oh.
Nice.
That's risque.
I can't remember. Maybe that's Virginia, because I did a report on Virginia, too.
You did a report on Virginia in first grade, and you talked about the boobie?
No, I didn't. No. Oh, no, it doesn't. Okay. Who is it that has, like, she's got, there's one of them. Maybe it is Virginia.
Or just look up. Just look up. United States boob out. see if you can.
I'm not sure. I want to type that in. Virginia. Virginia state symbol. Yeah, no, it's Virginia. She's got the boob out.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, right, I guess it's Athena type character.
She's listeners at home, she's got, make
you know
sure
what,
to
I
look
really,
up the...
You should look up... You should. You actually, you should look up the Virginia State symbol. Sex Semper Tyrannis.
Six Emperor Tyrannis. That means seize the tyrant. That's what
John Wilkes Booth
yeah, shouted
after
as
he
killed,
shot Lincoln. Yeah.
Fun
fact.
That didn't happen in Virginia, did it? Okay. So no, but it's a woman. She's got like the Athena type headdress. She's got some kind of pipe thing in one hand, she's got a big old spear in the other hand, she's got like the one boob out, and she's standing on top of a man with his crown has fallen off because she's murdered this son of a bitch.
Well, actually, though, you laughed and said that didn't happen in Virginia, did it? It happened in D.C.
Oh.
Which is, you know, right.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah. It's great that they have a John Wilkes Booth quote on their,
Well, it's not John Wilkes. He stole it from the symbol.
Yeah, but it's...
Yeah, I like how West Virginia's is literally a bear cub on a log.
That's adorable.
Maybe that's not their state symbol, but there's a picture. It says West Virginia. There is a little baby bear on a log. That's it. All right, I think we're done for this episode.
It's extraordinarily into talking off about, topic.
Talk about state symbols.
Do we have questions?
No, we don't have any questions.
We don't have any questions?
No, I didn't put anything out.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't.
We're like, we've been planning this for like a month, and then we planned it to do it last week, and I didn't put out anything about it at all. Neither of us did.
Yeah.
And then we had to postpone it to this week, and we still didn't do anything.
Yep.
We're really bad about that. You should be our PR dude, Charlie. You're good at that shit.
Okay. Maybe you guys should,
I'll add you to the group.
Maybe you guys should, like, do it, like... Maybe, like, try attempting it live so you can get, like... Don't, like, constantly address the chat, but, like, if there's... Oh,
that's an idea, though.
Such and such has a good point.
Yeah. See, our problem is, though, we can't remember to tell people when we're going to do the thing.
All right. So you want me to take care of that? I could.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Anyway, okay, so that's it for this episode. We've wasted enough of your time.
All right.
My only closing thought is iampepe.com is not real. I looked it up.
Damn.
And the ChenoethFan1.com is not. If you type it in, it doesn't go to anything. But someone does in fact hold that domain, which means
it could be real.
It could very well belong to
very likely.
Uncle Deadly.
He's real. Man.
Yeah, I was actually like. If this domain somehow isn't taken, I'm just going to, like, purchase it right now and surprise them with it on the show.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, tweet at Matt Vogel, hey, you should go to this site right now.
Yeah, just put this particular episode on Uncle Deadly's URL.
Yeah. Just this one. None of the other ones, just number 18.
Yeah.
All right, it was super awesome having you here,
Thank you,
Charlie.
Thanks for coming on, Charlie.
Especially at such short notice, because I'm terrible at planning. Literally the worst. All right.
I enjoyed it.
Oh,
I
good. We will have you back on at some point.
I talked about a television show, I think.
Yeah.
And
that
did
happen.
It did.
Like John Wilkes Booth and boobies and like a lot about my grandma.
Mm-hmm. So a great episode.
And Stefan,
yeah, a great episode.
What is his name? Stefan Stevens? What is his name?
So Sufjan Stevens, spelt Sufjan.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know, I work in music.
You know how it's spelled.
Yeah.
You're in the music business? You work at Barnes & Noble?
I'm in the music department.
I used to, when I worked at both AMC and Bowtie Cinema.
You were in the movie business.
Yeah, I was in the movie business.
Okay.
All right. Bye, everybody.
It's time for everybody to go to bed. Bye, Julia. Bye, Charlie.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.